If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley here, and today I have a very special guest for you. We're going to be catching up with Bruce Douglas, one of the Illini legends from the 80s, who basically came out of, the legend word is going to be overused tonight, but came out of the legendary Quincy basketball program, won titles there, came into University of Illinois, and really was a part of elevating the Illini to a level that really we didn't see again until the end of the Self and start of the Weber era, in terms of year in and year out. That was the beginning of the 80s. And we've got, like I said, I'm so excited to talk to Bruce. One of the guys, as I grew up in Mahomet, everybody on our basketball team, if they threw a lob pass, you know, they were throwing, but Bruce Douglas throwing it to Ephraim Winters, except our lobs weren't nearly as high and we didn't have anybody who could finish the way Ephraim did. But other than that, it was a Zach clone. Bruce, thanks for coming on this evening.
Oh, well, Mike, appreciate you inviting me. I'm definitely, excited about talking through some of the Illinois times and Quincy. I've been really fortunate, Mike, you know, that blessed to play in some storied programs in high school under some great coaches, playing with great players and on great teams. And so, when you're in a position to do those things, you just thank God for that.
Well, I have to ask you, we used to love it when Quincy would come on and it was the DeKalb Ag Research, you know, who funded the whole thing for the IHSA state playoffs. What was it like playing for a program that literally was known across the country? And if you guys didn't win state, it was kind of like, well, it was a ho-hum year. You know, some teams just want to go to the playoffs and win the first round, you know, in the regionals. Meanwhile, you guys have to win state. What was that like?
Well, you know, I tell you, it was exciting. And I think being under the right, you know, growing up in a place like Quincy where the expectation is high, but having a coach like Leggett during those years who was able to always present that as a motivator, as something that gave us an opportunity to prove who we were and what we could do. So we didn't see it so much as a pressure as we did as an opportunity. And so, you know, we won 64 in a row, of course, when I was in high school.
Yep.
We had the perfect season. And so, you know, I grew up, Mike, watching my brothers. I had, you know, two other brothers that were all state basketball players. And then Dennis, who was a third one, played with me. And since the 70s, I'd been watching Quincy basketball, watching my brothers, the great Coach Hanks teams. And so growing up in Quincy, the expectation is we're going to win a championship. And that's what we aimed at every year. And anything less than that, we didn't feel like we accomplished what the goal was. But it was definitely a challenge and it was a lot of hard work. And it took a lot of support from a lot of people.
What was it? Did it give you an advantage in college to have had such a good high school coach in terms of understanding not only the fundamentals of the game, but where to be and when to be there on the court? Was that something that maybe gave you a little bit of extra money in the bank when you competed at the Big Ten level?
Yeah, no question about it. Playing in high school in front of sold out gyms every night. And our gyms in the Big Six were big, you know, 5,000. Ours was 5,500. The Quad Cities were 6,000 up in Moline. And so playing under those kind of circumstances and in those kind of stadiums gave us the opportunity to see the game at a bigger level. We had fan support all over the place. We were on TV a lot. And so just dealing with those those times where you have to really prepare yourself, stay committed, stay focused. Coach Leggett was a great teacher of the game. He had a great vision and was able to really teach me those things when I was young. And so, you know, they would say you have to be a map major because coach would have a play for everything. But the benefit for me was that basically he taught me the play and then I was able to transfer that onto the court to the rest of the players. And so being in the right place at the right time was something that we not only depended on, but it was a part of our winning and a great part of my passing and anticipation. So yeah, all those things were great benefits. When I got to the Big Ten and the college level, competing was something that was very normal for me. And when you get the transition from high school to college, it's about competing. It's about competing with people with similar talent, being able to not just be fundamentally sound, but being able to see things in advance. And so I thought I was far ahead in that area. And just thanks to not just Coach Leggett, Coach Hanks, a lot of the great coaches that I played for growing up in that era. So Quincy gave me a great advantage, no question.
So nowadays, of course, at IlliniGuys.com, we spend a lot of our time looking at recruits and talking to recruits and you know, it's a little bit of seeing how the sausage is made in terms of how a roster is assembled. What kind of experience was it for you coming out of that program, national exposure? How did you decide to go to University of Illinois? And what type of competition was there that nowadays we would know every move that you were making? But in those days, you know, we didn't have those sources of information. So what was that like getting recruited and ending up at University of Illinois?
Well, it was first of all, I was fortunate to have a great support family, a great family that always not just supported me, but guided me in the right direction. And of course, being in a great community helps with that. But I think, you know, when you think about it, playing, you think about where you're going to be most comfortable. I loved Coach Henson. He was down to earth. He understood the game. And of course, Derek Harper was there at the time. And that was a big key for me because I'm always looking for somebody to learn from, somebody that I know is at a high level. And I thought Derek was, and we hit it off real well. And then I had the opportunity to meet with Ephraim and Doug and Scott and talk during the year, my senior year, and really kind of build the opportunity and the ideals that we could all be there to make a difference at Illinois. And then, of course, Champaign was like home to me. I fell in love with the Assembly Hall and being there every March. And so to me, it was an easy choice because it gave me all of the things that that I thought I'd been prepared for. That was to go to a program where I could make an impact, to be at home where my family could see me, and to think that I could be a part of Illinois becoming a powerhouse again. To me, it was easy. Now, it was a great journey having Bobby Knight, Digger Phelps and Ray Meyer, Judd Heathcote, Jim Dutcher, Bobby Knight, you know, all the great coaches come in. And in those days, they all came to your house and they all had a pitch. And they all, you know, Bobby came in and said, listen, I promise you, Miss Douglas, if I get your son, we will win a national championship. And, you know, he said, I did it with Quinn Buckner. I did it with Isaiah Thomas. So he's naming all these great Illinois point guards. And believe me, when you hear that line, you think, he knows I'm about championships and winning. And so it was definitely, a lot that you had to think about. But I think, you know, like we talked earlier, it thinking what's going to be the best situation for you. And for me, Illinois was just, Michigan State, I loved it there. DePaul was even a great powerhouse at that time.
Exactly.
Had a great visit up here. So there was a lot of things going through your mind, but at the heart of it, my heart was just at Illinois, and it just kept pulling me that way. And I never forget when I told my mom, I said, Mom, I think there's no question about it. I just, you know, I think this is where God wants me to be.
So let me ask you a question. How did you tell like a legend told you I was going to overuse that word tonight, but how did you tell a guy like Bobby Knight, sorry, but I'm not going there? How does somebody do that?
It's tough. I tell you, it's not easy because Bobby, he's a great coach and a great man. And I mean, what they do is they continue to put in front of you the things that they know you want most. And so, of course, when I called Bobby and told him that, you know, I had made a decision, and the first thing he was saying is, you know, listen, because I did it my junior year, and he was saying, hey, we still got time. This is the place you need to be. This is where you're going to win a championship. And you know, they pretty much tell you all the things that they have in place, all the things they've done, and all the things they can do for you. And of course, all the Big Ten campuses are great. The support systems were great. But telling Bobby was probably one of the toughest things you'll ever do, because he's a great persuader and he's a great motivator, and he's accomplished great things. And whenever you have to have a conversation with those kind of people and tell them that you made a decision to go somewhere else, it's not easy. But at the end of the conversation, he wished me well.
Yeah, that's got to be amazing. Of course, you know, growing up in Central Illinois, we were all huge Lou Henson fans. But it seemed like everybody wanted to run Bobby Knight's man to man all the time, and you know, no switching, and then that offense, you know, every coach replicated that. So as much as I was a Lou Henson fan, I felt like Bobby Knight had an influence on basketball as well, even for us Central Illinois kids.
Yeah, Bobby was. I got a chance, of course, in college and to go to the Olympic trials where he was the coach and he was running things there. Bobby was, you know, everybody knows he was a great general. I mean, he understood the game. He simplified it, truthfully. I tell you, when you played against them, it wasn't that they did anything complicated. They just did things right. And so, you know, they ran the motion. I could tell you, I was chasing Alford and Whitman and Kitchell. You know, they were running people off picks and people with big size back in the days when it wasn't real familiar for everyone to do. And they just looked for the best shot with their best players. And they would work hard, you know, on offense as they did on defense. And so he was just one of those great people, coaches that come along that has a vision for things, that can put things together and see how things work. And so everybody loved playing them because it was going to be a great opportunity to make a name for yourself. And we did pretty well against Indiana in my days. And Lou has kind of some similar ideals. And so, you know, the tough man to man, and, you know, we were able to, me and Derek was there, you know, a year, we were able to put good pressure on the guards and follow them around some of those screens. But yeah, he was someone that made an impression on the game that will last forever. And it changed the way I think coaches saw the game and approached it.
So those years were such spectacular years. And I often look back as an Illini fan, and I look back at that, the one time that I really think you guys went in and beat Kentucky on Kentucky's home. I don't care what anybody says. I know the record books say it's an L, but I think we won that game. What was going through your mind with that ridiculous no travel call? You know, because as fans, I mean, we were all, you know, in high school and we were like, this isn't happening. That was a travel. What did you think right there on the floor? What was going through your mind? Cause I thought your control was incredible. Cause I think I would have like maybe picked up a chair and beat Bobby Knight to the chair throwing by 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. You know, that was first of all, it was a great game. Kentucky's a, you know, 22,000 fans though. It's a great environment. They had a great team. And so we had played earlier that year. We knew we could beat them. They had beat us, through a last second shot up. And so at that moment, the only thing I could think about was another opportunity to get the ball. And, you know, the last thing you want to do is take that opportunity away. And it was clearly a travel. I've watched it many times since then. You know, we missed some shots down there. I thought we should have hit. So we had chances to win. And so when you have that happen, you always think we're going to get another chance. And so, of course, when we didn't get the call and they called the foul, there was a lot of frustration. But only thing going through my mind is, what do we have to do to get that ball back? What can we do to get a chance to win? And, of course, in that scenario, it's only if they miss a free throw do you have a chance. But it was a hard-fought game. The last thing you want to do is play someone in a game that has that kind of magnitude behind it on their home floor. And of course, you know, they had a pro front line. They were, you know, we were outsized, and they had great players, but believe me, they did win that game. And I, you know, we congratulated them. I don't blame wins or losses. I've been on too many sides of wins
yep.
to think that the referees determine who wins or loses. But I do know that those games are hard to swallow, because, you know, a call here or a call there makes a difference. And I believe me, if I had 22,000 people hollering at me you know, I had to make a call, it may influence which way I blow my whistle. And so we understood that. But, you know, you learn from those things. I mean, through the years, I think the most important part of being a winner is knowing how to lose. It's learning that when we lose, it's not a loss. It's we ran out of time because we left everything we had out there. We did everything we could do. And I never had any ill feelings about how they won. It was always frustrating. But as many times as I've been on the other side of that, I understood that they still had to make free throws. They still had to do the things to win the game. And then we still had some opportunities we missed that could have been different. But believe me, I think there's not a day that goes by when I talk Illinois basketball that doesn't come up on my mind about if that could have turned out a little bit different for us.
Yeah, we did an article, Larry did an article about Illinois getting respect. And one of the things that we noticed was that Illinois is a program that has had two events in the NCAA tournament that's actually changed how the NCAA tournament is done, because now you had the replay with less than 2 minutes, you know, against Miami, that now they can go to replay. And then of course we have, where now people can't play that level of game on their home court. So Illinois has affected the way that games are officiated. A couple things as we go through, and this is what I thought was kind of fascinating, but you guys were building that program, and really the modern day Illinois basketball program was built by your generation. They put it together and took us from a team that was kind of a Big Ten afterthought to a team that was, you know, top 10 year in and year out. Did you have any contact with players like Eddie Johnson, who were there before you, and help kind of lift it up a little bit to where you guys could carry it to even higher levels? Did any of those guys, Levi Cobb or those types, did you have any contact with those players to build that like unity amongst Illinois and build that tradition from one generation to the next?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you named two people that I definitely had contact with. Eddie, who played with me at Sacramento, took me under his wing and really helped me tremendously when I got up into the pro level. But even Eddie spent every summer back at Illinois during the years I was there. And so Eddie was very influential, just a high character person who cares about, you know, helping you not just on the court, but off the court. And surely Eddie to Derek, you know, into that air, Levi, those people were all around when I was in school, and they were constantly encouraging me. You know, I watched Levi play. I watched him hit the shot in the state tournament. I watched Eddie play. And so they were always, I mean, those were people that I looked up to at the time, and to be able to have them, you know, come back and invest in not just my life, but a lot of the players at Illinois then, and then to be the kind of model they were. It helped build what we were trying to build. And we were trying to build not just a great program, but we wanted great people that were concerned about one another, people that did the right things, people that try to help build that winning culture. And I think Coach Henson was a great example, and provided the kind of leadership for that. But you don't develop those kind of programs without building relationships with prior players. I mean, that's what makes us unique now, I think, is that we were able in the 80s. I mean, we really built up. I think when my 4 years there, we were in the top five winningest programs in college. And so the expectation had changed from being good to being a competitor in the championship, crown every year. And so that's important. And then having, being able to attract players, talent, all those things were important. I laugh because I told them, listen, I played on teams, Ken Norman, who got drafted, 10 or 11, 13, 14. Listen, I remember, and Ken was a great player, was my roommate, but Scott Mintz hurt his hand. Otherwise, Ken Cowyer's snake may not have had an opportunity to play, believe it or not. I mean, we were that deep where we had, players like Ken on the bench, Lo Hamilton on the bench. I mean, we just great players, talented people that we just, we couldn't find a minutes for them. And today they would have fit much better because back in that day, it was more of a 5, 6, 7 rotation,
right,
than it is today where you have 10, 10 people playing a lot more. But I'm just saying, so we had a lot of great players, and what builds up character is people waiting their turn, looking for their turn. And so I think the relationships we built before and after were definitely a key to how Illinois became a strong program during the 80s.
And I know you've made it a point to try to come back to Illinois games each and every year. Have the coaching regimes taken advantage of your point of view and got somebody who can help mentor basketball players who you're in the unique thing of being not just a basketball player, but a high level basketball player who's translated to real world success after basketball. So have you been able to kind of mentor and help along some of the modern day Illini over the years?
Yeah. First of all the coaches from Coach Weber, Coach Self, even Coach Kruger, and Coach Underwood, Coach Gross, all have given me an opportunity to come down and, I'm in ministry. And so I get a chance to lead some chapels. And so I chat with the guys when I'm down there, I leave them my number. And every now and then I get a call and I talk with some of the chaplains down there. So when I come down, I can encourage certain players. Yeah. And it's very unique to have that kind of opportunity where they welcome you in. Coach Underwood, I think, is doing a good job of trying to build a the culture he wants. That's a high character culture, hardworking culture. And I think, when I came in last year, a couple years ago because of the COVID, but, I got a chance to talk with Coach Underwood and we hugged and just talked about the challenges of building a program. But the feeling that you get when you feel like it's going in the right direction. And surely this last year, I think all the work he's put in, all the challenges he's overcome, to have a great year. Of course, we didn't, it didn't end the way you like, and that happens a lot. But what they've built has been phenomenal. And so now it's, bridging the gap and having some of the previous players and some of the previous teams stay in touch and remind them. I go down and remind them every year we won the Big Ten and, the things that we had to put into doing that and that they are a part of that. That legacy goes on through them and what they're doing. And there's nothing more important than taking advantage of what you got right now. And so all these opportunities they have and the responsibilities that come along with it, it's not just about me, myself, and I. It's about team. It's about community. And it's about making sure that you're doing things to make other people better. And so I think all the coaches have given me the opportunity to help build that kind of community that they want and that culture there. And Illinois is just a great place to be. And so I think that that definitely exists. And I think it's one of the things that that Josh is also in the forefront of producing, is making sure that we continue to keep the history in line with the future and everything in between.
Yeah, that's great to hear, because I know growing up in Muhammad in the 80s, you know, you got to see Illinois ranked in the top 10 in both sports. And that was such an incredible thing. And I feel like it ultimately, you have to have the right head coaches, because then they will get you the players and then develop the players to get to that level. And I feel like for the first time since that era, we've got both sides of the revenue sports being manned by coaches that have that ability to do that. And so I kind of can't wait to see, you know, what the 2020s, you know, it was the 80s belong to the Illini, and maybe we'll be back to the 20s belong to the Illini, because it seems like we're on the verge of that. I'm going to throw you a what if, because I'm a sportsaholic. And the what if that I go over is, what if Russell Cross wouldn't have surprised everybody with the Purdue, and you add him to some of those teams, you know, earlier in your tenure, obviously. Man, how good could we have been with Russell Cross on the team?
Yeah, well, first of all, we missed out on a few players. We got some great players, but Illinois is just full of great players.
Yep.
Russell Cross could have probably put us over the top. I mean, you know, back then we had big people, 6'8", 6'9". We didn't have anyone that could score like Russ could inside. George, of course, Ephraim was a great scorer, but more of a power forward than Russell, who could, you know, really dominate the inside on the block. And so George was a great player for us, but he wasn't Russell Cross.
Right.
And so that would have probably, you know, it would have made us very difficult to beat, because we could have scored inside probably a lot more, which opens up, you know, Doug for some easy shots, me for some easy penetration, and Ephraim would have, you know, probably been nearly unstoppable without being able to be double teamed nearly as much. So, yeah, that would have did, you know, there's some what ifs that would have made us probably, we might have a banner hanging up in there.
Yeah.
With one of these players, like somebody like a Russell Cross for sure.
Now, as we zoom forward to today's, you know, the headlines of right now, we have a lot of people who are wondering, you know, gee, what should Kofi do? You know, should he go pro? Should he come back? Now, you're in the unique point of you stayed all 4 years, but you also went to the NBA. So, you know, some of those, the pull back and forth on that. What are your thoughts on this? Cause it's a pretty complex situation. It's not like a easy one to encapsulate.
Yeah, Kofi's is really it's complicated in that, first of all, I'm a proponent of education. I think it's a great thing. Today, there's no question you can always come back and get an education, but I think it helps develop you in other areas of life that's so vital. You're going to use your education much more than you're going to use your athletic skill set. But for Kofi, he improved greatly from his freshman year to his sophomore year. And he became a dominator of the game. I think inside, he became a much better rim protector, a much better scorer, but no question his offense is limited to dunking and a lot of easy shots. And at the next level, they're going to definitely, he's going to have to be able to score one-on-one, not just with his back to the basket, but facing the basket. And so that's going to be the challenge. For me, so when I look at that, I think, man, it would be great for him to have another year. But I also realize, because at the next level, what happens is the talent gets higher. And so sometimes there's just that you don't know, hey, with a player like Kofi, how much better is he going to get with the talent that's at the level he's playing at? Because he may still be able to dominate the way that he did this year without improving some of those skill sets. Whereas at the next level, his whole focus will have to be on improving those skill sets if he wants to remain there. So I know that that's probably being tossed around and back and forth about how much better will he get staying in college versus how much more can he improve at the next level, how much quicker he could do that. And so it's a tough decision. I know coming from some of our environments and our, you know, what we want to be able to do for our families all factor in, but there's no question that at the end of the day, you want to make sure that the decision you make is a long-term decision, because the NBA can be a quick, quick career if you don't have some of the upfront guarantee expectation that you'll get some time versus, you know, having to earn it and work for it. So I'm kind of torn. I definitely want to see him back. And I think that it may be best for him to come back. But if he chooses to go, I can understand why. And it's going to be a challenge, you know, in making that decision for him. And I'm sure he's going to, you know, look to all of his support and take all the information that's out there and hopefully, you know, make the best decision. If he comes back, you know, it's surely going to be a great opportunity for Illinois.
Yeah. And, it's one of those things where as an Illinois fan, you want to wish him the best either way. Certainly selfishly, you know, I could see him as being the National Player of the Year next year.
Yes.
If he returns. But, you know, like you said, it's got to be a decision that's going to fit him and his family, not just tomorrow, but, you know, 10 years from now, et cetera. What did you think? Did you see any similarities or differences between Io's game and maybe how a Derek Harper played when you look at those, or are they two different type of players?
I think they have some similarities, but I think they're different in that Derek was – when I came to Illinois, Derek was really a point guard. So Derek had some of those point guard skills and abilities that was a little different than AO. But when it came to scoring with the ball, I think both of them have some unique things that they can do when they have the ball that they both can score. They both could slash to the basket real well. Derek did that well. AO really improved his perimeter shooting. AO, I think, had a little better size. So he, when he gets into the paint, he scores a lot better, a lot more. Derek was a perimeter guy. So he could shoot the long, you know, the jump shot, the long range shot. And then he could also go to the hoop on you because he was cat quick for that size. But yeah, I think the way that both of them offensively created problems for other teams trying to guard them one-on-one on the perimeter. It was something that they had in common. But I think after that, Derek goes on into the NBA, becomes a point guard. I think AO will eventually be able to play that position. And I think that he'll do well there. He's improved. And that's what I look at the most. For guards, it's always about improving. Where do we need to get better? Handling the ball, making decisions, taking good shots, seeing other players, making people better. And I thought he got better in all of those areas. He had a great year. I'm a little surprised that when I look at some of the mock drafts where they have him going, I think he's done a lot of the things that at the next level you want to see, not just with the improvement, the leadership, the commitment, the focus. And so and Derek was a lot like that. Derek was a great leader, focused, and just loved the game. And I think that's a real key. Both of them love the game.
Yeah. And I remember when Derek went pro and I was looking for one more year, seeing the two of you together. And it was like, oh man, you know, and so with Io, that Derek was my preparation to take Io much more maturely as a sports fan. So when we look back on those years that you were at Illinois, the success you guys had was phenomenal. The teams and the legends you played against and the big wins that you had, are there any moments that stand out that you just, you know, that you may get asked about Kentucky all the time, but are there any moments that stand out in your mind that maybe people don't ask about a lot that were special to you or were big to you that maybe as fans, we don't always think, you know, doesn't bubble up to our mind first? Are there any moments that come to your head there?
Well, I think, you know, I first of all, our 84 year, the year that we did lose to Kentucky, I thought that year we ended, we beat Indiana at home on CBS. I thought it was just it was a great game for me, but that weekend was a great, great weekend for our team. We beat Ohio State, a couple nights before. We had just reached a level, I thought, at that point that really had separated us from the teams in the Big Ten. And we went on to beat Wisconsin. And those were not just wins. We beat them, big by big margins. And so it was, to me, those were big moments, beating these historic programs and beating them handily. It really was exciting. And then, of course, when we got in there and, we beat Villanova and we beat Maryland, we were beating great teams and we were beating them pretty easily. And so those kind of things stand out to me. I know, in the next year, I tell you, with great teams, it's interesting because in college, trying to improve and get better, it's something you have to be able to kind of map out. It just doesn't happen naturally. We had a great season. The next 3 years were great years, but we just never seemed to manage to get to where we wanted to. And so over the next couple of seasons, we had great years. We beat great teams, but we just didn't get where we wanted to go, and that was to the championship. But I think, there was a lot of just moments, I think, through the years that was special. But, winning the Big Ten championship, we should have won it outright. Purdue, we tied it with them, and they had a great year, too. But we lost at Indiana by two, and we lost at Purdue by, three or four. A game we could have won both of those games in overtime at Indiana. And then we lost to Michigan in an overtime. And so, it was just that was the year that we had the opportunity. I thought we played the best. But, 85 and the years after that, I don't think there was any moment, there was a lot of moments, but not any just one. But I know anytime we think about those days, I think about the teams and the programs that we started to dominate that put us in that top echelon of teams that were playing in college then.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys would have beat Georgetown, but that game would have been a lot closer than the Kentucky game. And I was one grumpy, high school senior when I'm sitting there watching that, because I was so ready, or junior, whatever I was so ready to have you guys take on Patrick Ewing, and it was frustrating, but again, sounds like you actually took it better than I did, so that's a good thing.
Well, I had no choice. I surely but I was out there playing, so I was always thinking, hey, we're going to get another chance at this game.
So give Illini fans kind of a peek into what you're up to today and what's important in your life now, because we've talked a lot about the past, but you're just as engaged as in the present and as you were in those days. So what's Bruce Douglas up to today?
Well, I'm blessed. I've got my wife is a University of Illinois grad. We grew up together in Quincy, and we lived across the street from each other since we were about 6 years old, and been in the same class, went to the same school. In the sixth grade, was in the same class until high school, and where we dated and then went to Illinois. And so we're going to be celebrating 35 years of marriage. And I got four sons, all doing well. I've got four grandkids, a fifth one on the way. And so my life is full from a family perspective. Of course, my mother's still with me, and she's 87 years old, and all of my brothers and sisters. I did lose my oldest sister last year. So from a personal perspective, family, I'm, when you have the grandkids, dude, let me tell you, I thought the kids were something. I was saying this, in my day, when I had kids, I would drop them off to my mom and grandma for maybe 2 hours. I could go shopping. Today, they drop them off for the weekend. You know, they come by, hey, dad, you know, they want this movie night. It's so so it's a lot of energy. But I'm blessed in that area. I'm also involved in ministry. I pastor a church, and what an opportunity to serve in the kingdom and to serve people and to encourage people and families. I'm involved, and of course, I'm always involved in the sports and just that area of trying to encourage people. It's been such a great part of my life. And right now, you know, just my youngest granddaughter, Blakely, was diagnosed with leukemia about a month ago. And so we're just thanking God that it's a curable leukemia. And she is went through the first month of chemo, and she's a warrior, but she is in remission. And so we're so thankful to God for that. And so that's Brock and Ashley, and I've got Bruce, and I've got Brett, and I've got Molly and Bryce, his wife. And so from that perspective, I'm busy, and ministry is always busy. You know, there's just so many things to do with people to help them and encourage them with young people. And so we stay pretty engaged in those things. And of course, I'm an Illinois supporter. I love Illinois. I owe Illinois, you know, a wealth of gratitude just for the people that poured into my life during that time, for the fans, their great support until this day. And of course, my nephew is the head coach down in Quincy now. And so I get a chance to encourage him some, and they're going through some challenging times down in Quincy. But all these things are going on, and you know, in the midst of a pandemic this year. And so the sports was kind of put on hold and slowed up, and all those things gave me some time to reflect too, and to be with my family more, and to value some of these things with my time a little more. And so that's been kind of refreshing and energy, giving me some renewed energy. But those are the things I'm really busy doing. You know, I'm from a big family. You know that I'm from a family of 10. And all of my brothers and sisters have families, and they're all sports people. And so we are always engaged around sports. I did want to say that, listen, the football and basketball was off the hook in the 80s when I was there. I mean, Mike White and, you know, and we had great relationships with a lot of the football players, David Williams, Thomas Rooks. Those were people that I hung out with, and were just great influences and great players during that era. So I'm looking forward to seeing that maybe, you know, materialize in the 20s. For Illinois. But as far as for me, I am blessed, Mike. I've got a life that's full. I don't want to leave out that I still do work. You know, I'm a manager and had a utility, and it's a great place to be. And I've been there a long time, over 20 years, and so it's been a blessing as well, and it keeps me busy. You know, in the operations of just do the day-to-day things we do to keep people's lights on.
Yeah.
So all those things have kind of, you know, filled me up and given me a mission in life that I'm just so grateful for and thankful to God to be able to do. So that's kind of what I've been up to. And so I think, you know, outside of that, I'm just trying to find time to rest in between.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. And I will tell you, you know, again, as a longtime Illini fan, it really struck me that, you know, that those years that you were there, particularly, you know, I think of the combo of you and Harper and you had Ephraim and Altenberger and you start getting it. And that was really, you know, Eddie and company kind of started things. But boy, it started coalescing into something really tangible. And I really think your era was the foundation, you know, that the solid foundation. You know, I don't want to impugn the work that Eddie and his folks did to make your guys' dreams possible. But boy, Illinois basketball became Illinois basketball. You know, I guess we could argue that when Eddie made the shot against Michigan State, that we became something again. And then all of a sudden you guys were there year after year, you know, and that was such a great era. And I feel like we're kind of getting back to that again, you know, with Coach Underwood. We're waiting to see who the final assistant coach will be. We're hearing that he's done extensive interviews. The one thing, I guess, you know, I have a lot of Illini fans who are like, you know, what's happening? How long does it take? And my whole thought was, if Coach Underwood put together a staff that could accomplish a number one seed, he can put together a staff that will accomplish a number one seed. So I tend to not worry about those things. And I'm not trying to be a homer. I'm just saying that if you prove you can do it once, you can do it again in a general way. And, you know, I was out, it was funny. I was out down here in Texas, went to an AAU tournament, and people saw me with my Illini guys. And if I was carrying my satchel on one side, it just said Illini. They couldn't see the guys. And I had people come up to me and these are AAU coaches. And they're like, I'll tell you what, man, Chester Frazier is a home run hire. He was great when he was at Kansas State. That guy doesn't let anything intimidate him. He keeps working. He's a grinder. And he kept in touch to me when he was at Virginia Tech. I mean, I wasn't asking these people. They were coming up to me and explaining that to me. So I was excited about that. And the other thing is when I would, you know, interview some recruits to see how they were doing, you know, they told me, hey, man, the Illini, they play a fun brand of basketball. They are fun to watch. I want to play on a team that plays that type of basketball. So some of that's probably some of the things as we talk that drew you to Illinois in the first place. They played good basketball, had a good coaching staff.
Yeah, no question. Let me say this. The number one thing about the game of basketball, especially coming from the high school level to the college level, is it needs to be fun. You gotta not just love it, but you gotta have fun while you're playing it. And you talk about Chester. I've spent time during Chester's years down there. I was, spending time building relationships with Chester. Chester is he's a high level guy with great character. He loves the game. He's got a passion for people. And a grinder is a great way to put it. He's someone that just stays at it. The same way he played the game, you know, he's like glue. He'd get on you and, you know, you just couldn't get him off of you. But he's someone I think is just a great find for Illinois. It speaks to the, you know, to the character and to the kind of people that Illinois has developed through the years, that we can go back out 10 years later and find someone we can bring in that's just a jewel. And I think he's going to help Illinois basketball, and he's going to help young people down there develop. But I agree with you that Coach Underwood has put together these things. You have to give them time. You have to give them space, and then you have to trust they know what they're doing. And at the end of the day, we didn't get involved with, you know, the coaches picking coaches. I that's something that they do, and they do it well. And so it's going to be a different a transition, no question. But the way that that they play the game down there, it's attractive to players, and that's a big key.
Yeah, and it is funny because one of the things you think about is if Chester Frazier can recruit a Big 12 championship team for Bruce Weber, what is he going to be able to sell for the University of Illinois with its name, its fan base, and Coach Underwood's brand of basketball? We might see that he can pull in some pretty fantastic players on his own right. Let's just give him the opportunity and see what he can do.
I agree 100%. you know, Coach Underwood has done a great job. I mean, we're in a great place right now. And of course, we talked about sustaining it is always the challenge in all sports. But I think that we have the right environment. We got the right kind of school. And we got all of the things that you need to be the best at what you do. And I think we got the right people. And so then you just have to give them time to develop it. And I think on the football side, I would agree with you. I think we got someone that can develop people, that can attract people, and can put Illinois back in a place to where we can talk about football and basketball in the same breath. And do it passionately and exciting with excitement. So, yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, and you know, over on football, I feel like it's the best staff that arguably since either Makovic or White. And you have to have the guys who can coach. I personally thought Lovey was an inspired choice. It just didn't work out. We found out that you can't try to coach like a pro staff in the NCAA. And I'm not going to fault somebody for trying to do something new and innovative. It just didn't work. I thought Josh Whitman's choice of him, I thought it was a good choice. And again, creative, innovative, inspired. It didn't work out, but yet going with Brett is going to be the way that I think is going to be very interesting. And what I really like about his resume, of course, if he does what he does at Wisconsin, there's going to be a statue in front of Memorial Stadium. but I also like the fact that, you know, he went and learned under Belichick, and, you know, there's a guy who does things the right way because it gets results. And I'm kind of interested in what he's going to bring with that background to add to his already successful college resume. To me, this is the most I've been excited for an Illinois coach since, I gotta be honest with you, I was on the fence on Makovic. So it really goes back to when I was a kid and Mike White was coming to town. And, you know, I remember, you know, back and I try to explain this to my kids, and they look like they want to act like I'm Fred Flintstone from the caveman age, but they don't remember that not all college football games were broadcast at one point. So I remember sitting outside on our deck with the old radio.
Yeah.
And we're up 21-0 over Michigan. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to kill them. And then we lose 70-21, but we built that foundation started on that day. And I feel like we're going to have one of those things where we're going to kind of, you know, defend the border of Illinois and start getting the best of Illinois. And coach knows what type of players that he wants to get. And if you're disciplined and you make sure you get the guys that are needed to play your system, you know, success will come into play. So I feel like we could be back to that 80s model, which was really fun as a fan.
Yeah, you're exactly right. There's a ton of players in Illinois, especially the borders here. If we get the players we wanted, we did it back in the basketball and football during my era. I mean, I remember, you know, not after when we just came in, but, you know, we recruited Nick and Kendall and Lowe and Marcus, and, you know, all of those people wanted to be where it was happening at. And that was at Illinois, right in their home state. And the same thing with football, the coach can pick out the players he wants. There's plenty of other players that other people can get, but we get the ones we want, and we develop them. I agree with you. I'm excited about the football program, you know, the coaching, our staff, the resume, and I love you too. And you're exactly right. These things happen all the time in business. We try things, they don't work. Chalk it up to what we can learn as we move to the next phase. But I think it was a good choice, and I'm excited because I think we're going to see some fundamentally sound football with some people that know how to win. And that's really what it comes down to, is knowing how to win.
Yep. No, I agree with you. Well, hey, I want to thank you so much for coming and talking with us, Bruce. Fascinating. We could be on all night long and talk about all the different things that you've done. But I do appreciate you giving up, you know, some time in an evening here for Illini fans to listen to where you're at today and some of your thoughts on the modern Illini, and sprinkled in with some great stories of the past. Thank you very much.
And Mike, I appreciate it. And, you know, I will stay in touch with you because I want to see after we, how these seasons work out this next year for us. But thanks for having me. I love Illinois. It's home. It'll always be home. And it'll be a place I'm not just so proud to be a part of, but just thankful for the opportunity to be mentioned in the history of Illinois athletics. So we'll stay in touch, man. And I'm gonna start promoting the Illini guys. I'm gonna try to stay in touch with you and listen out and see the good information you're gonna be passing on to us.
Perfect. Well, hey folks, if you're listening, we're gonna wrap it up here. But this is Illini guy Mike, and remember, with Illini guys, whether you live in Champaign, you live in Chicago, if you live halfway across the United States or halfway across the world, there's only one place to stay in the know, and that's IlliniGuys.com. Thank you very much, and have a great evening.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.